But we've started in Galatians chapter 2 and we've focused on the need to retain the freedom that we have in Christ, that we've been given by the gospel. And we're not to listen to anybody who takes away that freedom. And the point I was trying to make just before I switched on the recorder is that we are not naturally free. We might think we are. We might think that we're going to be free to do what we like in the holidays, or if we're at work, that we're free to take our holidays wherever we like. And freedom means free from the constraints either of work or of the law. So provided I stay out of trouble, I stay out of prison, and I'm free that way. But the Bible's definition of freedom is different. The Bible teaches that we are all slaves to sin, that we're in bondage to sin. John chapter 8 teaches that the devil is our father because we are slaves to sin. And Ephesians chapter 2 teaches that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, which is why none of us can naturally, automatically pray to God. It's why we can't call God our Father until we have dealt with the problem of our sin. And I'm going to suggest, teach you, that that comes not by anything we can do, by what has happened to us through Christ's death on the cross for us. Because we, who are by nature children of God's anger, by nature because of who we are, because we are fallen human beings, because we're all the children of Adam and Eve, each one of us, we have a common ancestry, we're actually all related to each other, amazing though it may seem, black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter what colour of skin you've got. Each one of us started from the same roots. That root was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And that was a perfect time. A time when man walked with God. But then man disobeyed the commandment of God not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve listened to the serpent. She ate, and then she gave it to her husband. And as a result of that one act of disobedience, sin came into the world, and death came in with it. And so men, while they started off living 800 years, they died. But worse than that, they died spiritually. They were spiritually cut off from God. And the Old Testament is about God laying out the foundations and prophesying ahead through the prophets of a Saviour who would come, a Saviour in fact who died outside time to save all mankind, God's Son, sent into the world to save us sinners. Christ, the just, dying for the unjust, that we might be the righteousness of God. That is the goodness of God to us, friends. A means, the only means, of paying for our sin. That sin, that its root was not what you and I have done wrong, but the root was in Adam, because we all spring from that root, and that natural tendency that all of us have to sin has been dealt with, because that root has been dealt with by Christ. Bible says that as in Adam, all die. As in Adam, you, me, all of us are subject to death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death too. And we've looked in weeks past what that means. It means that God will judge us, and he will send us where our sin deserves to take us, which is that place called hell. And it is a terrible place. A place where we will be in forever. A place termed, described as a lake of fire by the Lord Jesus himself. The fire will never go out, and the torment will never cease. Friends, it is a place to be avoided at all costs. But it is the just place for our sins to take us. unless we can be set free from that sin. And that liberty has been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we eventually die, we might stand at the place of judgment, and we might know the forgiveness of God and the admission into heaven. We know that forgiveness, of course, as soon as we repent. 2 Corinthians 5:10, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Friends, all of us will have to give an account for everything we've even thought. It will be a terrible day for so many, but a wonderful day for those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus. Friends, good works will not save us on that day. It's so important that you and I realize that. That nothing we do will constitute the good works that will allow us to go to heaven. God will not do a balance sheet and say, "Well, on balance, your good works outdo your bad works." It doesn't work like that. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Friends, we must believe in what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We must believe that Christ alone paid for the penalty of our sins. And then, as we do so, we know the freedom that Christ has given us. So we understand what it means to have liberty in verse 4. We know what it means that freedom is not freedom, as it were, to go about our business as we want. But we can have freedom even in prison. Not that we would go to prison for anything we have done wrong according to God's law, but Christians get locked up for their faith. Friends, it doesn't matter your outer circumstances. It doesn't matter if you're in a schoolroom doing an essay, doing a test that you don't really understand. You can know freedom because you can know a friend you can pray to. A friend who will give you peace in the middle of your most difficult exam, in your most difficult moment at work, wherever it is. Even if you've gone on holidays and you meet a moment of danger. And many people meet moments of danger on holiday. You have the liberty of Christ, knowing that He, because of your freedom from sin, He will help you, because you are in relationship with Christ. That is the liberty that Paul is talking about here. And I want to ask all of us, have we discovered that liberty that Paul was sent out to preach? He was, we read here, the apostle to the Gentiles. You see that in verse 2. "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles." We see that in verse 9, the apostles recognized that Paul should go to the heathen. He should go to the Gentiles. Friends, there was a message to take to those Gentiles. A message of sins forgiven through Christ. Have you had your sins forgiven through Christ? Friends, the way is through faith. The way is by trusting in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you know that? Because here, there were people who were telling Christians a different gospel. Verse 4. "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty." They didn't like the fact that you could say that your sins were forgiven, that you had an assurance that you were going to heaven. They didn't want to hear that. They wanted you to continue to be thinking that you had to work for your salvation. You had to work to go to heaven. And the way they did it was very subtle. They said, you've got to be circumcised. Look at that, we see that in verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Jew, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in. They said, look, you've got to be circumcised. All of Jews were circumcised. In fact, that was the mark that they belonged to God's people, that they were circumcised. And we read it in Genesis chapter 17, verse 14, where God told Abraham, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul should be cut off from his people. He had broken my covenant. So if all the children of Israel were not circumcised, they did not belong to the people of Israel. They could not dwell in the promised land. And so when they actually crossed over the Jordan, they got into the promised land, the first thing that happened was that all the children were circumcised. And read that in Joshua. Friends, circumcision is not needed for the Christian. And it's more than circumcision, friends. There are some parts of the church that teach that entry to the kingdom is through baptism. And I read paragraph 1212, that's 1212, of the Roman Catholic Church's catechism. This is what it reads. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ, are incorporated into the church, and made sharers in her mission. Baptism is the sacrament of regeneration through water and in the Word. In other words, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. But that is the same as circumcision. It's the same as saying you've got to go through a ritual in order to be saved. But that is not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is that we are saved through faith, not through our own works. Can I take you, please, to that well-known verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, and faith by which it's communicated is a gift as well. Verse 9 tells us, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, even baptism is a work, because it's something either you do yourself or somebody else does for you. And if that is the qualification for going to heaven, then it is by works and not by faith alone. And yet we are told here that it is not by works, because otherwise we could boast. We could say, well, I've been baptized. Bad luck that you haven't, but I have. So I'm a real Christian and you're not. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it all by grace. And if it's a gift, friends, it's not earned, it's given. And it's given by faith. And the Bible tells us here that faith is a gift as well. Faith is not a work. We don't earn it. Faith is a gift. And so we become Christians by believing in Christ alone. And so it doesn't matter who tells you otherwise. Can we go back to the passage, to verse 6? But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. Friends, God is not a respecter of persons. You and I might be very impressed if we were to meet the Queen. I would be. I've met her once. It was a moment I'll always remember. Not that it was wrong to remember that moment, but God will not pay special attention to a queen or a king or a prime minister above anybody else, because He has reckoned us all under sin. We are all dead under sin. None of us has a special place by virtue of who we are in God's kingdom. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. It is a gift, friends, given to us through faith. And there are no exceptions. Whoever it is who tells you different, whether it is the Pope in Rome, whether it's some Orthodox patriarch, or anybody else, maybe your own mother or father, it doesn't matter if what they are saying is contrary to the word of God. God will not hear them. God will not say, well, because of who you are, I'll change my message. It is they who are wrong, and they who are proved to be wrong. Friends, we must be used to testing everything against the word of God. Do not be put off in your Christian walk because someone very important tells you that what the Bible says is wrong. Or if they try and twist what the Bible says to pretend that it says something different. See, if you look to Mark chapter 16, we'll see that even a passage of scripture that implies that baptism might do something doesn't say that. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That looks as though you've got to believe and be baptized to be saved. But then look at the next part of that verse. But he that believeth not shall be damned. What damns a person is not that they haven't been baptized, but because they haven't believed. Belief is the qualification for entry to heaven. Not baptism, not anything else, but belief that Christ has died for our sins. The reason why the Lord Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, is because a man who is saved will inevitably walk in obedience with God. And so that walk of obedience and those works of obedience will show that the person has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But his works are proof that he's believed. They are not a qualification for heaven. That's the important distinction. Every Christian who has believed should get baptized. But the baptism does not constitute salvation. A man who believes has been saved. But a man who has believed will do good works. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, that tells us that we've been created unto good works that God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Friends, I hope that the simple lesson of today is something that you will always remember. Our salvation is not something that we dare barter with, argue with, allow other people to rob us of. Our salvation is the most precious gift from God that we possess. More precious than life itself. Because, as a Christian, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Not even death. We're told not to fear those who can kill the body but have no power over the soul, but rather to fear him who, after he's killed our body, can throw our soul into hell. Friends, that is the Lord Jesus himself. He holds the key to life and death in eternity. When we trusted in him and in his death on behalf of us, and his resurrection that proves that sin has been defeated, we will be with him for eternity. We will know the freedom from sin in this life. And I should say the freedom from the power of sin, because Christ gives us the ability to resist and to overcome sin in this life. Friends, that is the real liberty. That's the real freedom that's better than what the holidays might have in store. Better for the children, better for us adults. And may we be careful not to allow anybody, however important that they might seem, to rob us of it. Because God does not respect them for their position if what they are teaching runs contrary to what he teaches. This book has the final authority over mankind, because this is the book that God will use to judge you and me on the day of judgment. Let's be careful to walk according to it, to remain faithful to its simplicity. And that's what, finally, we'd just like to have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 before we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Friends, it is the devil who brings in another gospel. He will use important people, but friends, it is the devil who's behind it. He is the one who's behind the attempts to subvert our souls. He is behind the person who will try and deceive the Christian into thinking actually that being a Christian does depend on your efforts. It does not, friends. It depends only on what Christ has done. Paul was worried lest they should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That concern remains true today. It's my concern. It should be every Christian's concern. It is the Lord's concern for your soul that you should not depart from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. That salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And it's got nothing to do with what you or I do. We believe because we're given the ability to believe. And as we believe, so we lay down our lives to take up our cross and follow Christ. Just returning, please, to the passage as I close. The secret to the Christian life is in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. You and I, friends, are identified with Christ in his crucifixion. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. The life we live as Christians is a new life. It's lived in us by Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the new life of the Christian. Not a life lived in his own strength, but lived through faith in Christ, who lives in me. He lives in the Christian, friends. That's why we do good works, because Christ does them through us. They're not our works. They're Christ's works, done through us. May we be rich in those works to demonstrate that we have believed unto salvation. Amen.
Amen.